Have you noticed how quickly we've learned to pathologize the human mind? In just 6 decades, psychiatric diagnoses have tripled, from roughly 100 categories in 1952 to over 300 today. Conditions like ADHD and dyslexia didn't exist in medical textbooks 60 years ago, yet now millions of children carry these labels. The National Institute of Mental Health estimates that half of all Americans will experience mental illness during their lifetimes. Half. That's a staggering claim about human nature itself. But what if we've been asking the wrong question? Instead of what's wrong with these brains, perhaps we should ask, what if these aren't broken brains at all, but different kinds of minds that our culture struggles to accommodate? This fundamental shift from deficit to difference lies at the heart of neurodiversity, a concept that's revolutionizing how we understand conditions from autism to anxiety. Just as we don't speak of race disorder or cultural disorder, maybe it's time to stop framing neurological variation as pathology. The brain isn't a machine with faulty parts. It's more like a rainforest, teeming with diversity, adaptation, and countless ways of being. Here's a thought experiment. Take a fidgety, distracted child struggling in today's classroom. Transport them back 10,000 years. Suddenly, their hypervigilance spots predators. Their impulsiveness becomes life-saving reflexes. Their restless energy makes them exceptional hunters. Nothing about the child's brain changed, only the environment. This reveals something profound. Competence is contextual, not absolute. What we label disability often reflects a mismatch between brain and environment rather than deficiency. The novelty-seeking gene linked to ADHD emerged 40,000 years ago as an evolutionary advantage. In modern classrooms demanding 6 hours of seated attention, this genetic gift becomes a disorder. Culture determines normalcy. In the 1800s, doctors diagnosed enslaved people fleeing captivity with drapetomania, a supposed mental illness causing irrational desire for freedom. Until the 1970s, homosexuality appeared in psychiatric manuals as pathology. Today's disorders similarly violate cultural expectations. ADHD challenges our work ethic, dyslexia our literacy obsession, autism our social conventions. The brain hasn't changed, our cultural values create the disability. 13-year-old Matthew Cutts explains his ADHD. When you see a peach, you see a piece of fruit. I see the color, the texture, and the field where it grew. What looks like distraction is actually attention abundance awareness, diffused across the entire perceptual field rather than narrowly focused on teacher-approved targets. The three hallmark ADHD traits offered clear evolutionary benefits. Hyperactivity improved foraging efficiency, rapidly shifting attention enhanced vigilance against threats, and quick instinctual responses provided survival advantages. These aren't system bugs, but features that helped our ancestors thrive. Modern society rebrands these traits positively in valued contexts. Impulsivity becomes spontaneity in Jackson Pollock's revolutionary painting. Distractibility transforms into divergent thinking that fuels innovation. Hyperactivity mirrors Edison's creative vitality. He held over 1,000 patents. Research confirms ADHD children become calmer and more focused in highly stimulating environments with music, color, and movement, suggesting these minds evolved for dynamic outdoor environments rather than fluorescent-lit classrooms. Amanda Baggs created a YouTube video challenging autism perceptions. In the first half, she hums, taps surfaces, and manipulates objects, communicating in her own language with her environment. Though labeled low-functioning, she eloquently argues through computer-assisted speech, "Failure to learn your language is seen as a deficit, but failure to learn my language is seen as so natural that people don't even realize it's a failure." Autistic brains excel at perceiving details neurotypical minds filter out. They spot visual patterns faster, score higher on block design tests, and often possess perfect pitch, isolating individual notes from complex chords. Leslie Lemke played Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 after hearing it once. Stephen Wilshire drew Rome's skyline in accurate detail after a brief helicopter ride. These abilities translate to exceptional performance in software testing, data analysis, and systems design. Danish company Specialisterne employs a 75% autistic workforce, achieving a 0.5% error rate in software testing versus the industry standard of 5%. Founder Thorkil Sanne emphasizes, "This is not cheap labor, and it's not occupational therapy. We simply do a better job." Reading is only 5,000 years old, a recent invention compared to speaking and navigating. Yet we've made literacy the primary measure of intelligence, marginalizing those whose brains process information differently. Dyslexic brains show greater symmetry between hemispheres, with the right hemisphere more prominent. This creates challenges with sequential text, but enables extraordinary visual spatial abilities. Dyslexics often think in vivid three-dimensional images rather than words. Scientist Bill Dreyer describes thinking in 3D Technicolor pictures, a cognitive style that led to breakthrough discoveries. The evidence appears in entrepreneurship. 35% of U.S. business owners identify as dyslexic versus just 1% of corporate managers. Richard Branson credits his dyslexia for making him more intuitive. Charles Branson describes visualizing how things would look at the end of the tunnel. Craig McCaw and John Chambers explain their capacity to jump from A to Z in business strategy, seeing connections others miss. Perhaps we should stop treating dyslexia as something needing correction and recognize it as a different, equally valid way of processing the world. When Carl Jung broke with Freud, he plunged into profound depression, using this darkness to explore the collective unconscious. Beethoven, facing hearing loss and romantic rejection in 1802, channeled his anguish into the groundbreaking Eroica Symphony. The depression itself became generative. Psychoanalyst Emmy Gutt distinguishes between productive and non-productive depression. Productive depression leads to insight, growth, and reorientation. Medieval traditions viewed melancholy as being in Saturn, wisdom through experience rather than a problem requiring eradication. Anxiety serves similar functions. While debilitating in extremes, measured anxiety improves performance and fuels creativity. Philosopher Charles Frankl called it the essential condition of intellectual and artistic creation. Depression likely evolved as an adaptive response to goal frustration, creating space for rumination and eliciting support. The challenge isn't eliminating these states, but learning when they're productive versus destructive. Gloria Lenhoff has an IQ of 55 and cannot make change for a dollar, yet she sings opera in 25 languages with perfect pitch. Jason Kingsley's doctor advised his parents to claim he died at birth due to Down syndrome, yet he went on to act in television, co-author a book, learn multiple languages, play instruments, and create art. These aren't inspirational exceptions. They reveal the bankruptcy of our narrow definitions of intelligence. The concept of normal only entered common usage around 1840, derived from the Latin norma, a carpenter's square. But averages are mathematical artifacts with no tangible existence. Each person represents a unique combination of genes and brain cells existing along countless spectra of sociability, literacy, intelligence, mood, and attention. The dichotomy between neurodiverse and neurotypical is false. There are no neurotypical people. Yet we're moving toward eliminating neurodiversity entirely. Already, 91 to 93% of Down syndrome pregnancies are terminated when detected early. Soon, we may detect genes for ADHD, dyslexia, and autism in utero, or engineer them out completely. Howard Gardner warns that genetic interventions targeting reading disorders might eliminate valued spatial or pattern recognition skills. We've learned to recycle physical objects, yet we still discard human potential. Only 6% of people with autism work full-time, and 90% of adults with serious mental illness remain unemployed, despite wanting and being capable of work. The Shona of Zimbabwe say, "People with disabilities are clever. They have strategies. They dance whilst leaning against the wall." Diversity isn't just tolerable, it's essential to collective survival and flourishing.